sing us together. And not only is, of course, having a young man sing like Travis tonight tie into just our Bible study, what he sang really will tie in to our Bible study tonight. If you will, turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 12. We're kind of finishing up a series that we started a couple months ago. And the book of Ecclesiastes, probably have one more message in this book, and then we'll move on. And as I mentioned to you, we will be looking at the end times. We'll be looking at especially Israel regarding the end times and some things there. And we'll do that either on Wednesday night or Sunday night. Probably do it on Wednesday night. But if we do that, should we do that, we'll probably have a couple miscellaneous lessons in between, because I want to wait until we graduate the King's Kids, workers, and all that, and they can start that series with us. But anyway, tonight, Ecclesiastes chapter number 12. If you're there with me, say amen. Amen. Let's read down, starting in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun or the light, the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets, when the sound of the grinding is low, he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets, or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity." Father, we love you tonight. We thank you so much for what's already been done in this place. Lord, we thank you for the congregational songs. We thank you, Lord, for the special and for everything that's taken place thus far, the mission letter, the good news we heard about those getting saved. And now, Father, it's time for the teaching of your word. And so we pray now you'd illuminate us. God, I pray that you'd illuminate us. I pray you would help us to behold wondrous things out of thy law. And Lord, we just pray you'd help us to say everything needs to be said, nothing that does not. Give us clarity of thought, quickness of speech, we pray. It's all said and done. We give you all the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I've mentioned to you throughout this series that the rabbis tell us that Solomon wrote the Song of Solomon when he was in his young age. You read that or have read that very much. You see him going after the Shulamite woman, and he's passionate about it, and you can see the drive that he has for that, and so wrote the Song of Solomon at a young age. And then it's clear, and they'll say that he wrote the book of Proverbs a little bit later. He wasn't old, but maybe middle age of life, and he had some wisdom then, and of course it is a book of wisdom. And then he wrote Ecclesiastes in the last year of his life, this book that we're in tonight. And I believe that's why here in chapter number 12, we find one of the greatest passages of Scripture on the effects of aging. Because Solomon has experienced all seasons of life at this point, and therefore he can speak knowledgeable on what he's speaking to us about tonight in chapter number 12, and that is giving God the best years of our life. You see, Ecclesiastes chapter 12 is not only a chapter for young people, but many of us who are a little older, a little older, can identify with this chapter as well. Now, having said that, whether young or old here tonight, it's very, very important that we listen to these words of Solomon and what he has to say to us. King Solomon was very well known for his wisdom. In fact, people came from all over the world to hear what Solomon had to say about many matters and to hear the wisdom of Solomon. He wrote a book, as I've mentioned, the book of Proverbs. It's completely filled with wisdom. And as a ruler, Solomon had displayed great wisdom. And I believe that what he says here in our passage tonight, what he says to us, is one of the wisest statements that he's ever made throughout his entire writings. And I believe it's some of his greatest advice that he's ever given, and in fact, I believe could ever be given, and he's found in verse number one. He says to us, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Now, Brother Jim just was talking about how our Father owns it all, and he's the Creator of everything. And truly he is. He owns it all. And so we'll say some things about the Creator in a moment, but I want you to understand that he tells us here, gives us this advice to remember now. That's key right there. You ought to underline that word. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And I believe Solomon was in the best position at this point in his life to make that statement than ever before. He's much older. He's experienced his own mistakes of chasing the wrong things and going after the wrong things. He knows the regret that comes from walking away from God and the things of God. And he has some very precious advice for us tonight. So as we begin this tonight, I don't do any recap. I just want to move forward. As we begin this tonight, I want you to notice, first of all, there is a call to remember. There's a call to remember. He says here, once again, remember now thy Creator. Now, it's very interesting that this word translated remember doesn't mean daydream. It doesn't mean reminisce. It doesn't mean thinking back at a time. But understand, this word remember here is translated. It means that it's an action word that literally means this: to act decisively. To act decisively. And so he says, remember. It means to act decisively. In other words, that's why throughout the Bible, when God says, I will remember, talking about us, he'll remember, he's not just saying you're on my mind. We know God can't forget. He's not just saying that you're on my mind, but what he's saying is I'm going to act decisively on your behalf. I want you to think about the fact he said that he's going to present us faultless one day before God. He's acting now. He upholds all things by the word of his power. Would it not be for him, we'd drop off into hell right now. But he's saying that he's going to act when he says, I will remember you. He says that all throughout the Word of God. I'm glad he says that. But it means not only that he will be on his mind, but he's saying he's going to act decisively on our behalf. In other words, he's saying, I will take action for you. Hadn't he already took action for us? And he's going to continue to do such. And so Solomon's saying to us, watch this. When he says, remember now thy Creator, the days of thy youth, he's saying, act decisively on God's behalf now while we still can. Remember now thy Creator. It's so important in every stage of our life that we don't forget God. But it's even more critical the younger we are, because we have more time and more opportunity that we stand to lose. The younger you are and you forget God and you forget to act decisively, you forget to take action for God and to be about the Father's business and the Master's business, when we miss that, especially at a young age, it costs us even more dearly. So as we think about this call to remember, I want you to notice Solomon gives three reasons to remember now our Creator. That's what I want to talk to you about tonight. Remember now our Creator. The first thing I want you to notice, the reason he gives, first of all, remember now our Creator, because your youth is fleeing. Your youth is fleeing. He says, notice it again, remember now thy Creator, verse 1, in the days of thy youth. Can I say to you tonight, it is so critical that young people give their heart and their life to the Lord Jesus Christ at a young age. Did you know that some 80% of the people that get saved by the age of 15 years old? Did you know five of those 80%, most of them are under the age, in fact, of 12, I think it is, or 13 years old, and so the majority is even of that age. In fact, over the age of, I think it was 16 years old, 17 right in there, it's very, very highly unlikely, if they haven't been saved, that they'll never be saved. It's so important at a young age we give our heart and our life to the Lord. I think too many times young people and adults alike write off their junior age years and write off teenage years. I believe parents are guilty of doing that with their children. I've seen parents discourage their children and say, well, you're really too young to make that decision. But young people do it as well, and they think, they make the mistake of thinking they just write off their teenage years and their junior age years. We think, well, they're too young to make that decision. But the truth of the matter is, many times their life is defined and their life is determined by decisions that they make in those very, very early stages and years of their life. Emily asked me last night, I don't know why she asked me, but we were just sitting there at the house, and she said, Dad, she said, what did you want to be when you grow up? I said, well, I hadn't grown up. No, I didn't say that. She said, what do you want to be when you grow up? I said, what do you mean? She said, you know, some little boys want to be a firefighter, want to be, and I thought about it for a second. I said, well, really, honestly, right after I got saved as a seven-year-old boy, I wanted to be a preacher. Now, my life took several different turns. It didn't happen exactly the way that I thought it would at that time. But you see, I know that God was working in my heart all the way back then. All the way even then. And I believe even though it went down a different path than I thought it would go, I believe even then God was preparing me for such a time as this. And I can see the hand of God in all of it. Solomon says here, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. It's so important that we don't forget God. Remember. Doesn't necessarily mean that he's not in our mind. It means that we forget to act, that we're not acting decisively on his behalf. We're not taking action for God and in the things of God. And so it's so important we don't forget him while we're still young enough to serve him. You say, preacher, that sounds silly. I mean, who would ever forget God? Oh, but we do forget him. We forget to include him in our plans. We forget to include him in our choices. I'm not saying we forget that he's there. I'm saying that while we know he's there, while we know that he wants the preeminence in our life, yet we forget to act decisively on his behalf. What Solomon's saying here is we need to act decisively, take action, and radically toward the Creator in the days while we're young. In the days while we can, because it only gets harder as you get older. Notice what he goes on to say in verse 1. He says, while the evil days come not. Notice it here. Let's look at it, the whole thing. He says, remember now the Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. But he says, while the evil days come not. You say, but it's tough to make the right decisions, especially when you're young. My friends won't understand. The crowd won't accept me, but they'll reject me in my decision. I have other wants in my life. I'll eventually make that decision. It's tough to live for God now, but it'll be easier when I'm older. But listen to me. The truth of the matter is tonight, young people have to make, you know, I've said this multiple times, young people have to make the most important decisions in their life, most often, way before they're ever old enough or wise enough to make those decisions. You know, in Bible days, by the way, I'm not feeling that bad about being 41. Bible days, you wasn't even considered grown till 30. Okay, that's what I've been thinking about today. But they got to make that decision. Where am I going to go to college? What career path am I going to take? Who am I going to marry? Many times, young people worry, and they ought to think about it, at least consider, am I making the right decision? Am I going down the right path? Is this the will of God for my life? And they wish there was a Bible verse that would show them exactly what to do. But there isn't a Bible verse that says, thou shalt marry Amanda, or thou shalt marry John. That Bible verse doesn't exist. But I'll tell you what does exist. It's what's helped me throughout my life. Psalms 37 and verse number 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of thine heart. Augustine said this. He said, love God, watch this, and do as you please. And that sounds a little blasphemous at first. But you got to understand what he's saying. He says, love God, and then do as you please. If you love God, and you're doing as you please, you're not having a problem. the keys if you love God. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he'll give thee the desires of thine heart. In other words, if God is in his rightful place in my life, we can simply do as we please and know that we're in his will, because when we delight ourselves in the Lord, he gives us the desires of our heart. In other words, his desires become our desires. And so as long as we're just fulfilling our desires that he's given us, we're all right with him. It's so important to remember when Solomon says here, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. This is coming from a man of great wisdom. Yet despite his wisdom, he forgot his creator in the youthful part of his life. You'll remember in the first several chapters, if you've been in through most of the study here of Ecclesiastes, Solomon tells us about his journey as he searched for life's meaning. This is coming from a man of great wisdom, yet this great man of great wisdom, he forgot to remember God, and he tells us in those first several chapters how he tried love and how he tried laughter and how he tried luxury and how he tried liquor. And in fact, he went on and he said, anything my heart desired, I kept not from it. And you know his conclusion of it all? He said, therefore, I hated life. And now he pleads with you and I, and he says, remember! Remember now thy Creator. Remember God. Serve God while you still can. Because the day is going to come, your youth is going to be gone. Faster than you could ever imagine. That time when you really could have gave God the very best of you, it's going to be gone. And I want to tell you, you can't get it back. You can't get it back. And it's with that reality that Solomon says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Somebody said, growing up takes forever, but growing old just takes a second. Some of you know, some of you understand that. You think about it, you know, you were 9 years old, then you were 10 years old. Man, then you were 11 years old. Then you were 12 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 years old. Then you were 12. Then finally you were a teenager, 13 years old. Then you were 14 years old. Then you were 15 years old. Then you were 15 years old. Then you were 15 years old. And then you were then finally you were 16 years old. Can get that driver's license. Then you were 17. Then you were 18. Now you can finally vote. Then 19, then 20, then you were 20, then you were 20, then you were 20, and then finally you were 21, and then all of a sudden you're 41, and you don't know what in the world happened. Listen, it's going to be gone before you know it. I was just starting to warm up to the idea of being in the 30s. Starting to warm up to that idea, you know. Go with me to James 4, verse 14. Hold your place here, if you will. You know this verse, but I want you to look at it. In James chapter 4, verse number 14, who's got that? James 4, verse number 14. If you got it, raise your hand. All right, go ahead, Andrew, read that. Now watch this. He asks the question, what is your life? And then he answers the question, it's a vapor. Everybody in here has walked out on a cold morning and you've done one of those, breathed in the air, and you've watched that vapor come out. And almost as fast as you see it, it's gone. That's the picture that God paints of our life. What is your life? It is even a vapor. It appeareth, watch these words again, for a little time and then vanisheth away. We'll see in a moment that vanishing away just turns to dust. There's a call to remember. He says, remember now thy Creator. A call to remember, first of all, because your youth is fleeing. Notice the second thing. Because your health is failing. I thought about the older couple in Florida who wanted to get married. Maybe you heard about them some time ago. The groom was 92 years old and the bride-to-be was 89 years old. They passed by a drugstore one day. They out riding around just before they got married, and They decided to go in and look around. And as they're looking around, the groom-to-be said to the man behind the counter, he says, "Hey, sir," he says, "we're getting married." He says, "Do you sell heart medication?" The man said, "Well, of course we do. We're a pharmacy. We sell that kind of stuff." So he continued to ask him more questions. He says, "All right." He said, "How about medication for circulation, rheumatism, scoliosis, memory, arthritis, and jaundice, and all those things?" The salesman answered again, said, "Absolutely." He said, "We sell it all." So the groom-to-be asked him again. He says, "Do you sell vitamins, sleeping pills, Geritol?" Again, the answer is yes, yes, and yes. He says, "All right." He says, "What about wheelchairs and canes and walkers?" The salesman said, "All speeds and all sizes." The groom-to-be looked back at him. He says, "Man, that's great. We'd like to use this store for our bridal registry." Hey, listen, our health is going to begin to fail us. It's going to begin to fail us. I believe this passage of Scripture, if you look at it, it's amazing, gives us the best description of the effects of aging and getting older than anywhere else in the Bible. Notice with me verse number 2 what he says. Chapter 12, verse number 2 of Ecclesiastes. "While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened." While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened. Other words, you know what he's saying here? Before you get depressed. He's just told him, "Remember thou thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Remember him in the days of your youth." And he says, "While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened." He's talking about depression that sets in, you know, before you get old and cranky and lose that zest for life. That's what he's talking about here. Old age has a way of bringing crankiness and depression when everything else starts breaking down and all that kind of stuff. Shakespeare said this. He said, "I wasted time, now time doth waste me." Many folks, as they get older, they get irritable easy. The sun no longer shines for them. The moon no longer is bright. The luster of life is gone. Notice what he goes on to say in verse number 2. "Nor clouds return after the rain." Solomon's talking here about how our mind gets foggy the older we get. You know, just don't have that sharpness you used to have. The mind gets foggy the older you get. We begin to experience storms of forgetfulness more and more. And now when you're younger, it's just a passing moment. Still, even as a young person, I had that sometimes. And But you're young and the sun still shines bright in your life and everything's bright and clear and it just maybe a passing moment. You say, "Oh yeah, I remember." But the older you get, those clouds take longer to go away. That fog in your mind takes longer to go away. And Solomon says here, he says, "Serve God right now while the sun and the moon are still bright, while darkness hasn't set in on your life, while you're still sharp and you still have a good mind and still have a good memory." I heard about a man who said, "Doc," he said, "I have a big problem." He said, "Man, I can't remember anything anymore." The doctor said, "Oh yeah." He said, "Well, how long have you had this problem?" The man said, "What problem?" Serve God now while things are clear. That's what he said. Notice with me verse 3. This will shed some better light on it. He says here, "In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out the windows be darkened." Now, that word keepers of that phrase keepers of the house here refers to our body. I want you to understand what's happening here is Solomon is painting us a picture of a house that's falling apart. And so that when he says that keepers of the house he's referring to is our body. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 1. Hold your place, of course, in Ecclesiastes. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 1. He's talking here about when he talks about these keepers of the house is our body, and we'll see that as we continue on through the text. Who's got 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 1? Brother Jim?
"We know that if our earthly house and this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, house not made with hands, eternal in heaven."
You see that? It says, "For we know that if our" what? "Earthly house of this tabernacle." What's the tabernacle? The temple of the Holy Spirit of God. It's our body, right? We know that. And so he's talking about that, this earthly house, this tabernacle. And so throughout the scripture, the body is referred to as a house. And such we see here. And so when he talks about the keepers of the house, at least the house he's talking about, the body. I want to read several verses here in Ecclesiastes, and then we'll come back and look at it. Verse 3 again. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, remember, the house is our body, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, those that look out the windows be darkened, the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, the grasshopper shall be a burden, desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the street. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. What in the world's going on here? As I said, Solomon is painting a picture of a house that's falling apart. And that house is my body and your body. That's what he's talking about here. Verse 3 again. He says, in the day when the keepers of the house, notice what he says, shall tremble. This is when your arms begin to shake. But Wayne, you know a little bit about that. When you get those tremors, some of you already know a little bit about that. That's what it's talking about. When the house begins to shake, you begin to, your hands get shaky and you tremble as you get older. And he goes on. He says, and the strong men shall bow themselves. Now when he talks about strong men, he's talking about the legs and the knees, and that they begin to become weak. That strong man of the house, that's what holds the house up, right? And so he's talking about the legs and the knees. They begin to shake. Legs are known as the strongest part of the body. Somebody said a telltale sign of old age is when your knees buckle but your belt won't. Pretty good. But he talks about here how that when you begin to bend a bow, you've seen somebody walking around and their back's bowed over, kind of hunchback. The older you get that way. And then notice also in verse number 3, he says, and the grinders cease because they are few. Now who thinks they know what the grinders are? Amen. It's your chompers. It's your teeth. He says the grinders cease because they are few. Who know the older you get, the fewer teeth you have?
15.
Testimony right there. The grinders. Oh yeah. Y'all start to feel this. I can tell. And then he goes on to verse 3 and he says, and the windows be darkened. What be those windows? Your eyeballs. Vision turns bad. It's amazing. The eyeball is such an amazing instrument. I'll tell you this. There have been people that have studied the eye and came to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ just because of the wonderful, magnificent creation of the eyeball. Did you know that the reason that we have telescopes and telescopic lenses and the greatest inventions in the world of those things is because they studied the eyeball? And that eyeball magnifies and does everything it needs to do, and that's how they got the technology for all that we have today. But it's an amazing instrument. It's the most sensitive instrument there is to light on the face of the earth. No other instrument that's more sensitive to light than the eyeball. And yet, it can see a star flickering 25 billion light years away. It's amazing. But yet, even the eyeball, it fades with age. You see, folks, and I've watched over the years, and I'll probably eventually be one of them too, but praise the Lord, so far my eyes have been great, and I've always had 20/20 vision, but I've watched, and you start seeing that little pouch in their pocket. Reading glasses. You start seeing that large print, extra large print Bibles coming in. The older they get. He says the windows be darkened. Hey, somebody said growing old isn't for wimps. Not for the faint of heart. And then notice, he goes on. Verse number 4. And the doors shall be shut in the streets. In other words, they're closed themselves off. Shut-ins. Shut the doors and don't have anything in common with anybody in the world. And they just begin to live as a shut-in, so to speak. He goes on, he says, when the sound of the grinding is low. their hearing begins to fail. That sound gets lower and lower. They can't hardly hear it. And the ear, just like the eye, is an amazing instrument. The ear at its peak is at its peak, performance at 1.5 years old. The ear, it's at its peak performance when they get to about 1.5 years old. And at its peak performance, it can differentiate between 15,000 tones. 15,000 tones. But once again, it's at its peak at about 1.5 years old, and so it's pretty much all downhill from there. He says the grinders begin to get low. And then notice what else he goes on and says. And he shall rise up, watch this, at the voice of the bird. Another thing that happens as you get older, some of you are laughing because you know, can't sleep. Get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, not because you want to, because you have to, you can't sleep. Says he'll get up just as at the bird. Just one little bird chirping outside, and well, you hear it because you'll wait. It's amazing how early some folks get up. It's because sleeping's a thing of the past. Isn't it interesting? I was thinking about this today. When you could sleep in because you had no problem sleeping, I mean, you coveted. In fact, Ashley back there talking about it earlier, she said, I know one thing. I'm gonna find out what sleep's about now that I'm back home from school. And so she's all about ready to get some sleep. And she'd probably be able to. She's still young, you know. But she said, I'm going to get some sleep while I'm in. Isn't it interesting when you're young and you could sleep because you had no problem sleeping, you couldn't sleep in because you had to get up and get kids ready, or you had to get up and go to work, or whatever the case is. Now you're retired and you still can't sleep because your eyeballs pop open at 5 o'clock in the morning. It won't let you. He goes on in verse number 4. He says in the rise up at the voice of the bird. Then he goes on and he says, the daughters of music shall be brought low. The voice begins to weaken. Voice isn't as strong. I've known some people with some wonderful voices. And I've watched them through the years. The older they got, and their voice would begin to, still had a decent voice, but it wasn't near as a strong voice. And their voice begins to break up. I don't know what I'm going to do. My voice has never been real strong. And then notice he goes on. And he says, verse 5, look at it. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way. When they shall be, I'll tell you something amazing. I'll never forget. I took a bunch of young people one time to Carowinds. We was up at Bobby Robertson's at a youth rally, and I was probably 30 at the time. I don't know. I was in my 30. Well, no. Yeah, I was about 30. And I took them there, and man, they had everything. They had this one water slide. Looked like a gigantic half pipe, if you know what that is. It's this big thing like this, and it just goes like a big U. And it was way up in the air. And I'm up on top of this thing, you know, I'm running with the young people. I'm going to show them. And so we're up there. I look down there. And there's this little pipsqueak kid. I knew him. You know, I still know him. He's a preacher. He's a pastor. But he was just out of college, you know. He's down there in his khakis and his polo shirt. He's just standing here watching. I'm looking around thinking, what in the world am I doing up here? 30-something years old with these little kids, and he's down there. But, you know, what I've learned is this. Now, I'll still do that stuff, but all that stuff doesn't appeal to me anything like it used to. I'll still do some of it. I was, years ago, and I did heating and air a lot. I mean, literally, I would take 20 foot of duck, and I mean, this would be 3 or 4 stories high, maybe 30, 40 feet in the air, and I'd take off running across rafters, never think twice. I did the heating and air for Pastor Brandon, put his whole system in. We just built his house a year or so ago, and had the boys helping me. I'm going to tell you this, I wasn't running across those rafters. And it was only really a one-story house, but it's still a high foyer. But I look down, and I'm kind of, you know, holding on a lot. That's what it says. It says the fears begin to set in the older you get. Used to, and Tyler will still do it. He'll come running out and jump over something or whatever, you know. I hold on stepping out of the back of my truck now, you know. Get in there and throw the garbage out. If he's not with me, if he's with me, I'll make him throw it out. But there's been studies done that indicate that there's a chemical reaction in the brain that takes place the older you get as you age, and it makes you more vulnerable to fears and as you get older. If you've ever seen the show Fear Factor, it's always the young people that win that show. They got them up on some ledge hanging off the side of some building, you know, and they've done a couple of them with like movie stars. They're going to compete against each other and stuff. And you know, they had what's that guy? David Hasselhoff, is that guy's name? They had him out there. He lost first. You know, he's older than her. And so he lost first. I mean, he's out. They had this young guy, you know, and he's the Baywatch guy that everybody, he didn't make it. He didn't stand a chance. It goes on in verse 5. Look what it says. It says you're going to be afraid of that which is high, and fear should be in the way. And the almond tree shall flourish. Who knows what color an almond tree is on top? It's white. About like your head. And that's exactly what it's talking about. The almond tree shall flourish. Now, sometimes it just turns loose. Instead of turning white. You ever seen it begin to snow on the mountains? And as it begins to snow on the mountains, the snow begins to collect around the sides. Then finally the whole top, everything's covered. I'm starting to get a little snow on the sides. I was had a lady cut my hair a couple times ago, and I'm sitting there in the chair. And, you know, I just don't talk a lot. If they want to talk, I will. But, you know, I'll do witness to them and stuff while I leave. But she was talking about something. I just looked at her, and I said, "Oh, what?" And she kind of jumped back. I said, "What in the world? Why don't you clean this robe off before you put it on me?" She said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "I got gray hair all over me." She said, "That's your hair." Yep. Says that the olive tree shall flourish. Now, I said I'm beginning to get some of the white around the side. I just can't decide if it's going to turn white first or turn loose first. So that's what I'm trying to figure out. Then notice he goes on to say, verse number 5. It says that they're afraid and the fears begin to come. The almond tree shall flourish, watch this, and the grasshopper shall be a burden. It's amazing how you get older. You wonder when you get older how you ever done it as a parent without killing somebody. Because, you know, kids just aren't your thing at that time. At least, you know, you get irritated at something just as little as a grasshopper. So even a grasshopper will be a burden. But then notice he goes on and he says, and desire shall fail. Now, I can kind of pretty much leave that up to your imagination. But I can tell you this, that the pharmaceutical companies are getting rich off of helping people with their desires. Somebody made this observation on this passage. They said, let's just thank God that it's the last thing he mentioned. The desires shall fail. So, as we move on. So do you understand here the plea from Solomon to remember your Creator in the days of your youth? Before your mind begins to fail, before your vision begins to fail, before your hearing begins to fail, before your voice begins to fail, before your desire for life and for living begins to fail, remember God, love God, serve God. He says, give your life to God. Because eventually, your house is going to fall apart. It's going to turn to dust. Notice verse number 7. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. Your house turns back to dust. And the spirit shall return to God who gave it. There's a call to remember God now because your youth is fleeing. Your health is failing. Notice the third thing. Your death is coming. Look with me starting at verse number 5 again. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets, or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the cistern, at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, the spirit shall return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. Other words, you've come to the end of your road, buddy. This is it. The mourners, he says, are out in the street. That's it. It's all over. Your body is simply returned back to dust. Because at the end of this process that he's mentioned of the faltering body and the failing body, no matter how young you are, no matter how young you feel, no matter how young you look, eventually you die. So Solomon is saying, he's saying here, aging is inevitable. It's going to happen. I mean, it's not something we should be embarrassed by. It's something that we should embrace. He said aging is it's something that's going to happen. It's inevitable. Job 12:12 says this, with the ancient is wisdom. You ever had anybody call you ancient? With the ancient is wisdom, and in length of days, understanding. Other words, the older you get, the wiser you get. Have you ever thought, certainly you've thought this, well, I wish I knew then what I know now. I wish I had the wisdom that I have now when I had the energy that I had then. I'd be a millionaire. Sure you've thought that. One bright spot to getting older, the Bible says, is you become wiser. Or, at least you should. I've seen some people don't get any wiser. But you should get wiser. Typically, age, wisdom comes with age. But there's a tendency with all of us to want to hang on to our youth and view getting older as a bad thing. But in reality, with age comes wisdom. So let's just simply embrace that process, since there's nothing you can't do about it anyway. Second, not only is aging inevitable, notice the second thing, aging is essential. Because think about this, through the process of aging, God gives us daily reminders as we see ourselves. He gives us daily reminders that we're headed towards eternity. So it's essential, it's a reminder. That's why the psalmist asks in Psalm 90:12, Lord, teach us to number our days. And he goes on and says that we may incline our hearts unto wisdom. But he asked, teach us to number our days. God does that every morning when we look in the mirror. It reminds us we need to take this day and use it for the glory of God to the best of our ability, because we may not have many more. Praise God. Listen, aging is inevitable. Aging is essential, but it's not eternal. One day I'm going to get a new glorified body. The Bible says, liken unto his glorified body. You're saved. You're going to get a new glorified body. Liken unto his glorious body. We're only here for a short time, then we move on to eternity. A place where there'll be no aging, there'll be no sickness, there'll be no diseases, there'll be none of that, there'll be no trembling, there'll be no loss of our teeth or our senses. Aging is not an eternal thing, not for a Christian, but we'll soon put down this old clay tent and we'll put on an incorruptible one. 2 Peter 1:14 says this, Peter writes, knowing that shortly I must put off this, my tabernacle. Talking about his body. Knowing that shortly, he said, I must put off my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. And then Paul follows it up with a verse that we read earlier, 2 Corinthians 5:1. For we know that if our earthly house, this tabernacle, were dissolved, Peter says, I'm fixing to put it off. Paul says, if it is dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Listen, that's why Solomon says today is the day to remember. Remember now thy Creator. Because you're not dead yet. Your heart is still pumping. You're still living and moving. Most people make the huge mistake, critical mistake of thinking, well, as soon as I get out of high school, then I'll really live for God. But as soon as I finish college, then I'll take the time and settle down and I'll really do something for God and seek the Lord. And then they move on and it never happens, because life happens. And as soon as my kids get grown, that'll give me time to really settle down and seek God. And on and on and on it goes. And the truth of the matter is, I want to tell you, it'll never be easier for you to serve God than it is right now. It will never be easier for you to be a witness. It'll never be easier for you to begin reading your Bible. It'll never be easier for you to start praying, tithing, doing devotions. You will never, because why? You'll never get any younger than you are right now. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. There's never going to come a time, Christian, that it's going to get easier. So let's serve God now. Let's remember God now, meaning taking decisive action, and let's go on for the Lord now. Don't wait for this or that to happen, because while you're waiting, you're dying. Remember now thy Creator. In other words, he says, act decisively. on the behalf of God now. Take action for God now. Do something for God now. Worship, witness, walk with the Lord. Do it right now. Here at the end of his life and his letter, after much experience and many mistakes, Solomon here offers up the greatest wisdom ever to those of us who still have some time left. And in his wisdom and in his search for life's meaning, he says to us, remember now. He's searching for life's meaning, and he says to us, remember now thy Creator. Because after trying everything else there is to try, searching for life's meaning, Solomon finally understands that apart from God and living for him, there is no true meaning to this life. Everything's vanity. What's the meaning of life? Well, Solomon here at the end, he says, remember now thy Creator in the days of your youth. Don't waste your life trying to figure out what this life's all about. He said, I'm telling you right now, it's about remembering God, not just in your mind, but in your motivation, in what you're going to do for Him. God help us. No matter where you are tonight, whether you're 3 or 30 or 300, however, wherever you are, you're still here. You have some youth about you. It's not just for those that are 12 or 14 or 16 or 18. But wherever you are, he says now. We've put it off, but remember now, thy Creator, in the days of thy youth. Amen. Lord, we love you. Thank you so much for loving us. Thank